And the first thing we're going to pray about tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 2, as I was just coming now, came to me. The Bible tells us, first of all, what we should do. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. When you look at that scripture, it tells us the first thing we should always do. The Bible says that in everything we should give thanks. The reason why we should give thanks is clear. It says this is the will of God concerning you, concerning me in Christ Jesus. The Bible gives us a protocol of how to come before God. Don't come before God murmuring. Don't come before God with your problem. Come, the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And it says, be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. Let me tell us one of the things, and we always fall to that trap of the enemy, is to make us not see what God is doing or what God has done, but help us in a way to focus on what we think God has not done, God is yet to do. But little do we know that the things we see don't just appear. Everything we see has first of all happened and occurred in the spiritual realm before it came into physical manifestation. Peradventure, maybe you don't know that what you thought God has not done, God has already started orchestrating in the spirit. And you've not simply seen the physical manifestation. So what do? We keep murmuring. And the devil knows if God has done something in the spiritual realm which we can't see, and we go into murmuring, that means we will not see it because it will not come to pass. The problem the children of Israel had with God in the wilderness, and why God, even though he promised them they were going into the promised land, God promised them, God delivered them, mighty hand, miracles. They saw signs, they saw wonders, they ate manna. They ate fresh food. They ate everything. Water came out of the rock. They saw God's mighty acts, mighty miracles. In the wilderness, God's promise was they were going to the promised land. They did not get there in spite of God's promises. Why? They murmured. It is a demonic strategy that when we are in a great need, we switch off, we focus on the need, we forget whatever God has done in the past, and we go into murmuring, because the devil knows once we get into that realm, we have missed the way. The promises of God will not come to pass. Please, I want to read 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll just simply do that tonight. We do that now, and then maybe we'll read one or two scriptures from the Acts of the Apostles. Please, can you bring it up, and let's read it together. Let's read it first of all, therefore, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read together, everybody. One, two, go. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For all men. For all men. Please, the first thing we're going to do, you see, the table where you are seated right now, I don't know how we're going to do it, but in any way we can tonight, please, if you can join hands on that table and begin to thank God for one another's lives. Begin to thank God for that child you are holding, for that woman you are holding. Begin to activate the force of thanksgiving. Just thank God for their lives. Thank God they are alive. Thank God you can feel them. They can breathe. They can breathe. The enemy has not exerted his wickedness. The rod of the wicked will not rest upon them. Thank God for everybody around your table. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Lord, we say thank you. Father, forgive us if we have murmured. Father, forgive us if we are ungrateful. Father, forgive us if we have forgotten the things you have done. And we are focused on the things we think you have not done. We give thanks. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, girl in this place, female, male. I thank you for making it possible that we can even make it here. I thank you for our going out and our coming in. I thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Indeed, has followed us. Thank you because it's of your mercies that we have not been consumed. If you want to consume us, the last time we murmured, you will have seriously consumed. But Father, you have shown us your goodness. You've shown us your mercy for every soul, for every boy, for every girl in this place tonight, for every man, for every woman. Father, forgive us. Forgive us, we thank you. We thank you. Forgive us for not thanking you enough. Forgive us for our ingratitude. Ingratitude. And fill us with the knowledge of your will tonight. Your will is that in everything we give thanks. This is your will concerning us in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray. Verse 2 says, we give all these supplication, prayers, intercessions. Verse 1 says, for all men. Verse 2 says, for kings and those who are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty or reverence. Listen, some of us don't realize that if anything goes wrong with this country where you and I are resident right now, if anything should go wrong, and anything can go wrong, if war should break out, if bombs should start flying, none of us here will be spared. I am telling you, it will take the mercy of God. Now, we are going out, we are coming in, we do anything we want, we shop, we sleep, we wake up, we think all these things are ordinary. Now, this country at the moment now is in a state of chaos. It's in a state of confusion. Nobody knows what's going to happen next. And I'm telling you, like that, anything can happen. There could be an outbreak of war. Anything can happen. We have to understand where there is confusion. The Bible also says evil is present. There is a great confusion, a great darkness upon this nation at this time. You might think it's Brexit. You might think it's deal or no deal, backstop or no stop. Listen, God commands us to pray for who? For kings, for those who are in authority. What is the reason? So that there may be peace. There may be quiet. Please, let's lift up our voices. If you still want to join hands, let's join. Let's pray for Boris Johnson. Let's pray for those in authority. The members of the parliament, whether it is prorogued, suspended, or whatever. What are we praying for? Somebody's asking, what are we praying for? Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done as it is in heaven. Nobody knows whether it is Brexit or no Brexit, whether it's leave or remain. But Father, we know one thing, you reign. You still rule in the affairs of men. We commit the United Kingdom into your hands. We commit United Kingdom into your hands. Lord, you have a heart. You have a blueprint for this nation. At this time, we pray. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done concerning this Brexit. Let your will be done, leave or no leave, remain or no remain, backstop or no backstop. Lord, we do not know. We do not know, but you know. We just cry out to you. We lift up Boris Johnson. We lift up all the members of the government. We lift up the members of parliament. We lift up those in the House of Lords. Lord, we lift up all who, one way or the other, are in a position of authority. Father, the hearts of kings are before you. They are open before you. We pray as the waters are turned into irrigation ditches. Turn their hearts according to your will. Turn their hearts according to your will. Let whatever those in authority are doing right now, let them favor your righteous cause. Let them favor your righteous cause. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, just as it is in heaven. Just as it is in heaven, we resist every plan of the devil. We resist evil. We resist confusion upon this nation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we may not know, but you know, and we pray that which you know shall come to pass. Only your will be done. Only your will be done. We pray for peace, 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 that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Father, stay your hand of judgment. Let there be mercy. 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 In the name of Jesus. You're still looking for what to eat? Believe me, in the time of war, you won't even think about what to eat. You will think about where to run. God forbid that the plan of the enemy over this nation should come to pass. Lord, as we have prayed, as we have cried out to you, Lord, let your righteous cause upon this nation be favored. Whatever happens, let it favor your people. Your righteous people, that which is your will in heaven, let it be done in the United Kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I feel a little bit relieved. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. We began to study verses 1 to 5. And I'll read from the New King James Version. A Bible study tonight. Acts 23 from verse 1 to 5. The Bible says, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the law. And do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? And those who stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? Then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. We began this study with just looking at the basic laws of this land. Do we know the laws of this land? We are Christians, yes. We know the word of God, yes, perhaps. But when it comes to the things of Caesar, Jesus said, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's. Give to God that which is God's. We saw last week, clearly the Bible says in the book of Romans, that let everyone be subject to authority. That there is no authority except is given of God. The Bible is clear about leaders, kings, rulers. The Bible says that God is the one who sets up kings, and God is the one who pulls down kings. You know, somebody said something, it sounded like a joke, but I looked at the substance of what the person said. There's a certain despotic leader who ruled in a certain country, and Christians were rising and cursing his generation and cursing everything and cursing everything. The man ruled. When he got tired, he stepped aside. He's still alive. He's there. And the person was asking, of all the curses and everything, everybody cursed this man is still living in a mansion. This man is still there. You may say maybe his day of judgment has not come. Excuse me. The Bible commands us to do one thing for rulers. I've never seen where the Bible says we should curse them. At times when we open our mouths to curse, the question is, who is going to execute the curse? Is it you? You know, I said something jokingly last Thursday. I don't know. I just see people pray this prayer these days. And they say, thunder, fire you. Are you the one who controls thunder? Will thunder obey you? Have you ever commanded thunder and thunder will fire somebody? You see, it's as if we just love rhetorics, we love gymnastics, we love just words because they are high sounding or they are tough sounding. I have never seen anywhere in the Bible where the scripture says we should curse leaders, we should kill them, we should even pray for their downfall. What we should do and commanded to do is to pray for those who are in authority. That is the word of God. And when it comes to the laws of the land, we see clearly in the previous study that even Jesus obeyed the laws of the land. One day he was confronted with his disciples and they were asked to pay the temple tax. And at that point in time, they didn't have money. The story we read about Jesus going to ask one of his disciples to go and fish, catch a fish, and then they will find a coin and use the coin to pay the tax. Don't miss what Jesus was really pointing out there. It's not about the miracle of the coin. What Jesus said is, let us pay this tax, I'm paraphrasing, lest we offend them. Lest we give them, in other words, something that they can hold against us. As Christians, we should not be the ones breaking the law. We should actually be the ones enforcing the law. If there's an unrighteous law, then we have a higher authority to pray about the unrighteous laws, not to curse leaders. Now, we see here what happened here with Paul. The dimension we're looking at is our focus now is on the leader, the ruler, the Sanhedrin. He was brought before the council. He was accused. They were going to beat him. How did he deliver himself from our previous study? He delivered himself not by quoting the Bible. What did Paul do? Paul simply quoted the law. Can you beat or command a man who is a Roman, uncondemned to be beaten? And that was what delivered him. Simply, he didn't quote any Bible, he just quoted the law. He gave to Caesar what was Caesar's. There is a place, brethren, where we need to know our legal rights, know the law, know what the law says. Now, the question now is, how do leaders get there? Last week, our brother gave us a little rundown towards the end of the Bible study of how leaders emerge in a democratic setting. He told us how you join a political party, you express interest to contest for an elected office, you become an aspirant, you campaign within the local party, you either win or you lose. If you win, you become, from aspirant, I don't know what he called it. What did you call it? You become the, there's a word you use. The candidate. Yeah, you become the party's candidate, and then you stand for a general election, and then the whole public cast their votes. If you get the majority according to democratic laws, then you win. And when you win, you become the leader. And when you become the leader, you can do and undo, sadly. If we look at that process and we ask ourselves, what were we looking at when people were putting themselves forward to be elected, got elected, stood for elections and won? We did nothing. When they begin to rule over us, we now begin to curse them. Jesus said, let thy kingdom come, let your will be done. As it is in heaven, let it be done on earth. You know, if we don't want to put ourselves forward to lead, to rule, then we have no right to curse those who put themselves forward. Because you had the same equal opportunity to volunteer. So if you can't go, then why not pray for those who go? Not that you wait until they get there and you start cursing them. I say this with every conviction. I don't believe God answers prayers when we curse leaders. Curse them all you want. Say anything you want to say about those in authority. Curse. Swear. You know, say anything about their generations after them. It is still God who answers prayers. If you call that a prayer, it is still God. Never forget that. It is still God who answers prayers. And if you try, and you and I try to answer our own prayers, then we will be stepping into the realm of God, and God doesn't share his glory with anybody. You ask God to kill somebody, and you find out God didn't kill the person, then you decide to help God, take a gun and shoot the person. The law is going to catch up with you. You stepped into a realm that is not yours. It's actually witchcraft to begin to pray such prayers for rulers. Paul quoted the Bible here. The first thing we see him do is what naturally we will want to do. Somebody strikes you, and the person who told them to strike you, what did Paul say in verse 3? God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You seek to judge me according to the law. You command me to be struck contrary to the law, and then immediately was corrected. That's God's high priest you're talking to. That is God's high priest. Whether you like him or not, he's a ruler. I think it's Romans chapter 13. If you can bring Romans chapter 13, verse 1. See the purpose of those who climb to a place of authority. Just look at it tonight. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Listen, whether it's an evil ruler or a righteous ruler, if you allow evil to prevail, then an evil ruler will get there. If we allow the righteous, or the righteous put themselves forward, then it will get a righteous ruler. Either way, God is watching, and God will allow. Even if it's for his purpose to teach his people, to teach a nation, especially if a nation has departed so far away from God. Okay, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are, look at that, appointed by God. I'm reading the Bible. I'm not reading some storybook. Let's go to verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Let's look at the scriptures in light of this context. What is good that we should do to those in authority? Okay, obey the law. Pray. What's the first thing the Bible tells us to do? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pray. Somebody may say, but there are all kinds of prayers. You know, some people pray and say, God killed somebody. The prayers that God answers are the prayers that are according to his will. What is his will? His word. Pray for those in authority. Pray. The Bible says the heart of kings, they're in the hands of God. Like the rivers of water, he turns them wheresoever he wills. The person that God raises, whether he's evil, whether he's righteous, is in that place of authority. Their hearts in the hands of God. But God will touch their hearts when the righteous pray. God touch their hearts so that they turn according to your will. That's what we should do. Not God, kill them. We curse that person. We curse his generation. We do this. We do that. We do this. We're just wasting our time. And for as long as we are not praying the way God wants us to pray, evil will continue to prevail. It's as simple as that. evil will continue to prevail. It's either we get involved physically, stand, put yourself forward and start leading, or get involved spiritually, pray for those who put themselves forward, that God will touch their heart to do his will. Rulers are not the terror to good works, but to evil. If we pray, God will touch the heart of Boris Johnson. If we pray, God will touch the heart of the members of Parliament, House of Lords, House of Commons, and God will begin to work on their hearts in a way that they will start doing what is the will of God as it is in heaven. Let me tell us something. No one of us knows the heart, the perfect, we have the perfect monopoly of what God is saying. I have listened to so many people at this time saying all sorts of things about the United Kingdom, why United Kingdom must leave Europe, thus saith the Lord. And I've heard why United Kingdom must remain, thus saith the Lord. Is the Lord confused? I know what saith the Lord. Pray, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't know what that will is, but God knows what his will is. So he said, we pray that his will be done. I think that's the safest place to be. I've seen people prophesy that thus said the Lord, this is the next president. Does it happen? There are just some things we should not dabble into. Can we just stay on the word of God? Paul, when he realized his mistake, he quoted the scriptures, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. What do we do with our leaders? Is the question for our Bible study tonight. Because we see Paul here being brought to the place where he was going to be judged, and was going to be judged by the highest council of the land. Was Paul guilty? He preached the gospel. He did what Jesus told him to do. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He walked. He grew his faith until he was called, ordained to go forth and preach. And as he went, he faced all the persecution, all manner of persecution. The challenge to us tonight is that we should stay in the will of God. And when it comes to leaders or leadership, let us do what God tells us to do. I've shared this before. I used to work in a bank when I began to understand how God can turn the hearts of those in authority. I used to work in this bank, and I was just one of the regular staff. And then found out that we had Christians, like-minded Christians, and we made up our minds we will keep on praying every day in the bank, every day, every day. We prayed, and some of us went and asked the manager, please, can we start doing a little bit of fellowship before the bank opens? Of course. He said, yes, as long as you do it before the bank opens. God turned the heart of the manager. The days we don't have the fellowship, we are praying in secret. We began to determine what happened in that branch. Any demonic agent that ever came there in the place of prayer was where we settled them. We got so influential. We were not the managers. We were not in the position of authority physically, but we were in the position of authority spiritually. Nothing happens in that branch. And the manager himself, I don't know, one day just called us. And since then, anything he wants to do or anything that wants to happen, he calls a group of us. He locks his door, kneels down, and asks us to pray for him. That is what authority is. That's the real authority. He can sit down in his office as the figurehead manager, but we know that all power belongs to God. And he's given it to the sons of men, to the children of men. He gives that power to those who ask and exercise it the way he wants. I do not know. Maybe you need something right now. And it's in the hand of a certain authority. And maybe you've been praying. But praying wrongly about the authority. But the Spirit of God is telling your heart tonight to pray rightly. You know the desire of your heart. It's a righteous desire. Why don't you pray for whoever or those who can influence what you need and has got to touch their hearts? You know the funny thing? It's so sad that even believers don't know their authority and we misuse our authority. I see even church members praying against their pastor. Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember a pastor friend who actually told me one day he stopped people from praying in his church. I said, why? He said one day he was eavesdropping when they were praying, and they were praying against him. So he used his authority, no more prayer meeting. How comical that sounds, but is it not silly that we misuse what God has given us? It's the power of prayer. I don't know what you are trusting God for, but you can pray that God will touch the heart and stop cursing the people in authority, that they will favor you rather than cursing. You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. That is lifted from the book of Exodus chapter 22. Verse 28. Can we just keep the word of God as simple as it is and just stay with the simplicity that is in the word of God? How do we get involved in leadership? Either you put yourself forward and lead and trust God to guide you, or you pray for those who are leading that they will guide you according to the will of God. Brethren, that's where we're stopping tonight. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let us pray. Please, let's ask the Holy Spirit right now to help us pray according to the will of God. If you don't know what to pray about, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. If you can pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Lord, the things we want, the things we desire, you have placed men, mortals, in charge. Father, everyone in charge, please lift up your voice. Everyone in charge of that which I need, steer the heart, oh God. Everyone who has the authority to give me the things that I crave and need for your glory, steer their hearts, oh God. Steer their hearts. God says, the gold is mine, the silver is mine, the treasures of this earth, God created everything. Lord God Almighty, those, whatever authority, be specific. You know what you desire. Be specific to pray. If you don't know what to pray, how to pray, pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost tonight. Holy Spirit, we just thank you. We just thank you. We thank you as your people. We thank you as a church. Oh Lord, my emotion to Brandalaga. Father, those who are sitting in the place of authority, in the place sitting over our treasures, those sitting over our gold, you said you will restore gold into the temple. Father, stir their hearts. Let the gold begin to return to us. Let the silver begin to return to us. Lord, the years, the locusts, the palmerworm, the cankerworm has eaten. Father, you said you will restore. You will restore. We ask for restoration. We ask, oh God, for everyone in authority. We ask for all the laws that have been passed. Let the laws begin to reverse into our favor. Into our favor. Lord, every gold we need right now. Every gold we need to meet our need. Father, you have everything you can meet. Every need. According to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But Lord God Almighty, you've placed the gold on the earth. You did not put the gold in heaven. The gold in heaven is for the roads, to pave the roads. Useless. That is how useless gold is to you in heaven. But Lord, on this earth, every gold you have put here, let it begin to return to your people, to we your people. We need the gold. We need the silver. We need to worship you with our gold. We need to worship you with the silver. We need all these things, oh God. You said we should seek first your kingdom and your righteousness because you know every need we have. Father, Lord God Almighty, supply every need right now. Open our eyes to begin to see where the gold is, how to get the gold. In the name of Jesus, please pray, pray, pray. Somebody pray. Radabas. Every authority, every power, yes, sitting over my decision, sitting over the decision that will favor me, stir the hearts, please be specific what you want the Lord to stir their hearts to do, don't curse, just pray. Father, we thank you tonight for lifting every heavy burden. Thank you for destroying every yoke. Thank you for making our burdens light and our yoke easy. We came in here weary, heavy laden. We are leaving this place light. We are leaving this place with your light. We are leaving this place with direction. We are leaving this place with instruction. We are leaving this place, Lord, with the supply to every need. Lord, it is for your glory. We are your children. We are the sheep of your pasture. You said all things are ours. Show us where these things are. Show us where our help is. Show us where the point of supply is. It's all for your glory. Lord, we vow to return the glory to you. In fact, we give you all the glory right now. In the name of Jesus. Please just go into a time of thanksgiving again. Just thank God. This is the confidence we have when we pray, when we ask. He hears. He does not only hear, he grants us the petitions we desire. Thank you, Lord, for your kingdom come and your will be done over this nation at this season. And Lord, thank you for touching everyone in every position of authority to favor your righteous cause, to favor us in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.